This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey to all my automotive aftermarket peoples around North America and the world, because we do have a worldwide listening audience. Welcome to Making Dispatch Work. Remarkable results in the Town Hall Academy. I'm excited about this show because I kind of know what these guys want to talk about. And I know this is an evolution of a podcast that we did, episode 849, The Art and Science of Dispatch. Dan Taylor, Reggie Stewart were with me. And it was such a great episode, and it was so in-depth, and there was so much think that I immediately said to Dan and Reggie, I says, we've got to do it in the trenches and get the guys that actually are pulling the levers of dispatch inside of a service professional operation. So I'd like to welcome my panel. Say hello to Nick Howard, General Manager of Reggie's Motor Works. Hey, Nick.
How you doing?
And you happen to work for the guy over to the left of my screen, Reggie Stewart.
I do, about 11 years now.
11 years, Reggie's Motor Works and Noble Auto Service in Noblesville, Indiana. Good to see you, Reggie.
Good to see you.
John Long is here, co-owner of Total True Automotive, multi-shop operation, three stores, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, three stores.
Good to see you, John. And Steve Braun is here from Ulmer's Auto Care in Cincinnati.
How are you? Thanks for having me.
Great. Thank you guys for being here. We sure appreciate it. We want to talk about these key items, communications. Can what you do survive the hit by the bus test? The flexibility that's necessary, the 30,000-foot view of the chessboard, a well-rounded team, do we know their strengths? What are the customer expectations? Having foresight, a quality of foresight? And is dispatch related to productivity? Interesting. Look at all the smiles that I got. Anyway, hey, thank you all so much for being here. High fives to our great sponsors. Okay, you quoted a job last month and the customer just said yes, but the price for parts just went up a notch. When you use Shopware's native parts catalog, you simply update pricing with one click. Great idea. Talk to my friends at getshopware.com. And hey, are you up to date on your training? Well, Delphi Technologies is proud to offer over 30 courses run by ASE certified technicians, or for you, the professional. Turn to the OE aftermarket supplier with over 100 years of experience, the parts your cars are born with. Inquire today, DelphiAftermarket.com. Guys, let's start this off making dispatch work. Who's doing dispatch today, John? Are you doing it? Is it a position in your company as an owner? Are you saying, hey, I got to make sure this works before I can teach someone else, or we can develop something? Let's get this great dialogue going.
Yeah, we are doing it in our company. It is a position that I created in our company several years ago. I'm trying not to do it anymore. Right now, I'm filling in for somebody else that's doing it while I'm teaching another new teammate how to dispatch in our system. So it is something that we do often, regularly, and we believe in it wholeheartedly, and I don't think anybody will ever convince us not to do it anymore.
Do you have a parts person?
One of the stores has a parts person and a dispatcher. The store that I'm in currently has a parts person and a dispatcher. And then our smallest store just has it's a combined role because it's a real smaller store.
So each of those roles are separate.
Yes.
Okay. Is the fact that you are so busy and you do such high volume attributed to the fact that you have a parts and a dispatch?
That is part of it. The second part is, since we do a lot of stuff, our dispatcher does a lot of work and there's a lot of things that they're in charge of. So trying to do that and write estimates and handle the parts is quite a bit for somebody, and it's going to have a high burnout rate, and we don't want to burn our people out.
Is there a point where you say, I can afford or I can't afford based on the car count or the number of bays, the number of techs? Did anybody ever figure out how you slide someone, afford someone in based on the stats like that? Reggie?
That's a great question. Right now in my stores, we do not have a specific dispatch person. At Reggie's Motor Works, Nick, the general manager of the store, is the dispatcher. In another store, it's the service advisor. The head service advisor is who primarily handles dispatch. So for us, it's what I'm here to do is to learn more about how we can better define this in our shops. We have some key people that do a great job at it, but how do we make sure that as we grow, we have that more defined, and it's because it is such a critical role.
There's so much information out there on how to set a labor rate, and there's so many stats or equivalencies. If you're doing this, you should be doing that. And right now, we stumbled in that last episode 849, into the fact that there's really no major training courses out there for dispatch. And we were all done with that episode, Reggie, and my daughter Tracy listened. And, you know, my part of my challenge back in that episode, please go back and listen to it. You'll be so absorbed into it. We were just discussing we should, too bad the industry can't create an app and have that app be the, okay, sit down and learn how to dispatch. And the software throws all these, the customer called, they need this, or this guy got called home. And the part isn't going to show up for another 2 hours. And where is that app that shows you how to play that chessboard thing? Cool idea. I like that. Well, look, Nick, you're the GM and the dispatcher. Any thoughts of the fact that you're burned out because Reggie works you so hard to do all these jobs and maybe you need some relief and the company would be better because of that?
So we have shared the dispatch job between myself and our senior service advisor and at different times. So I did it for a while and then he did it for a while. And currently I'm doing it. And the reason I'm doing it now is it does give me a better handle on what is happening in the business. If I'm not that involved with it, then it's easier for me to lose track on a daily basis, truly. So that's why I'm doing it currently.
And one of the key talking points of everyone on this panel is the word communication. And I don't think we could survive successfully without practicing that. Who went to school for how to communicate with each other and how to anticipate what's going on? Anybody? Anybody go to school for that?
I have a communications degree.
Oh, all right, Steve. Put him in the big shot. He's going to take care of this whole thing right now. Tell us.
I've been doing dispatch probably for about 5 years. We are in transitioning period where as Ulmer's Auto Care is growing, we are now I'm the manager and I am teaching our advisor to do dispatch. Over the last week or two, I've been doing a trial and error because this is all relatively newer where we're allowing Brandon, my advisor, to do the dispatching, but then I'll jump in and kind of hit ideas off him. We do run lean and mean here. We have no parts people. We do everything. We do everything from the dispatch, the phone calls, the writing the work orders, to tracking down the parts, getting the parts to my technicians. So every aspect of our position, one position handles everything. We also are a two-store building. So we have one building that's got four bays, and then about 40 feet from it, we have another bay store that has two bays. So we rely a lot on watching cameras and multitasking from there. So our is a lot harder. And we do work a lot. We do run and constant movement, but it's a well-oiled machine, but it takes a significant amount of practice and constant, as we say, communication, constant communication through the whole team, including the technicians, to make sure that we're always on the same page.
Guys, I can't help but think the worst thing I'm about being a host here is that I can't stop, reacting to everything you're saying and how we want to ultimately conclude this episode. And the first thing that came out of my mouth as Steve was talking to me was these four words. Ready? No rules, just right. And then I started to realize that if you went to somebody and says, hey, you're a new dispatcher, there are no rules, just make it right. I'd say, oh my God, it would be a failure within the first 8 hours because what's right? But if the culture in the company was where it is, and then you could off to the side say, here's our strength, here's the quality of our techs, here's the level of tooling that they know, here's the training that they've had, here's the customer expectations. It's artful, which is the no rules, but the science of it is the rightness of knowing what you can and cannot do, and then, tuck that up with the clock that says 8 to 5. Am I thinking crazy?
The big question I have is, how many people are capable of this? Is it trained or is there some natural innate ability to multitask that not everybody has? Because you're juggling a lot to do this and do it really, really well.
I think it's a little bit of both. There are some innate abilities that are there from the very get-go. And then there's some things that you can train. So it's a little bit of both. I do think you do have to have a little bit of an underlying ability to begin with and train the rest. Yeah.
I think you can learn, be taught it if you have the ability and the want to do it. I also really think that it also falls back on who's working around you, who has the experience, who has the, I'm not a huge technical person, but I have another advisor named Phil who is really technical. So he takes the technical burden off me. Brandon is young and very techie. He loves Techmetric and he loves working the board. And I'm the customer service side of it. So for us three, we work very much in unison. So I think with the team, when you have a very good team that can take some of your shortcomings and take it off you, you find that the dispatch and things like that are not as overwhelming.
It's like any position in a successful team. You're never going to do it on your own or be successful on your own. Having the support and a fantastic team behind you is what's going to help the overall process and everybody being on the same page. And I don't know that it's something that maybe every single person can do, but it's definitely learned and trained. And it's something that I've learned and developed to do over the years as we grew from, you know, to 12, 13 people. So
let's draw some science into this thing. Anybody know what the DISC test is?
Yep.
In my mind, guys, it would be a high S, C over the line, and then a D and an I below the line. And I could almost see this hook that looks like, well, you can't see how I quite did it on camera. But a person who's an S is a customer service individual. They're steady. They get it. They're about family and people and caring. And that whole cost. And then the C, the conformity piece, is that's the rule side, right? It's got to be right. It's got to be perfect. So I got the people and the rules, and they don't have to be a gregarious extrovert. And they don't need to be dominant and pound their people to death and be time bound. They just need to. So I'm just guessing that if we were going to take some science into finding a great person for a dispatch job, that's how I would see it. I may be wrong.
I can see that. I could also see an I, because your influence, that influence on your staff, your techs. I shared a story offline about a shop owner that I work with that he had a service advisor that attempted to dispatch a job to a technician at, I think it was like 3 o'clock on a Friday. It was a 2-hour job. And that technician's like, I'm not going to be able to get it done today. Well, the service advisor had already promised the car to be done today. So the owner goes back, who is a former technician, looks at the job and says, why can't you get this job done? This looks like you can knock this out in an hour. And he did it. So, I mean, there was some influence there. There was some, in this particular case, and it's another question of mine, he had a technical background. So he could kind of deduce and negotiate with the technician and say, hey, man, can you get this done? And to me, that is another piece of dispatch, is selling the technician on getting the job done in the promised time.
I would argue that you still have to have some D in there as well, because that is a job that you have to make decisions and you have to be dominant at times and say, this is what we're going to do, instead of doing it the other way. You almost need a balanced person across the board in there, a lot of it. And going back to Reggie's thing with the technicians, you've got to tell them, I believe in you. I believe you can get this done. Yes. Those are the 4 biggest words that can ever come out of your mouth, is I believe in you.
I think the D comes in, even if the person didn't have it, by the policies of the company that the person has to uphold. And that person can't be bashful to the point of having at least a little I up in there. And I know this shouldn't go off into a DISC assessment. This isn't why we're here. But frankly, who is the ideal candidate? And I think this is an interesting discussion. Because if you've got the policies that say, listen, if this happens, what if? Can you imagine the number of what ifs, the whole hit by the bus, John, right? If you get hit by the bus, you flip over to the red part of the manual and you say, oh, this is what we do, because they're all what ifs.
Yeah, there's a million what ifs in our day-to-day operations. You never know what's going to happen from 1 second to the next second. And by the hit by the bus test, you know, what we say is, if I walk out the building and I get hit by a bus, can somebody fill in and know what's going on in our dispatch system? So it's a matter of what other policies, like you said, you have in place. What little things can you show on, you know, we use auto vitals and they've got vehicle tiles. So what's on that vehicle tile to where anybody can look at it and say, okay, I know where this car's at. I know where this car's at. I know what this tech is working on.
Right now, there's no one in charge if you don't have a dispatcher. It could be a tech. It could be the lead tech. It could be the shop foreman. It could be the parts person. It could be the lead service advisor. And just stop and think for a moment. They're all buried. And something happens and there's no policy that says, hit by a bus, what happens next? Unless you outline it, unless you say, okay, in the military, it says they just keep going up the ladder, if you will, right? And maybe this is a great opportunity in the company to say, we're going to change some of the structure that we have. And ultimately, the goal, the subliminal goal, is to rise someone to be dispatch, or at least look around the company and say, wow, we're all playing good in this new sandbox of these new rules of the hierarchy of in charge. Now we can bring in an individual that would actually then take a grip on it and then produce incredible productivity and happy customers. Steve, we're talking about these roadblocks that happen. Tell us how you look at those roadblocks.
Oh, I look at roadblocks all day long. Unfortunately, I've had some roadblocks this morning. You just have to kind of step back, re-look at the day, re-look at the schedule. You have to know what technicians are now going to have to take over the workload that one technician was going to go to, because one of the cars is stuck on the lift now for 2 more hours. You're constantly looking at what can we do. We always call it low-hanging fruit, things that we can do outside, things that we can do quickly, we start to adapt and change that. And it's an ever-changing day. So you want to say, like, I'm going to come in, I've had pre-scheduled up, I know exactly how the day is going to go. It's going to be an easy day. We have it ready to go. And by 10 a.m., it looks nothing like that. It looks like you don't even work there and you don't even know what's going on and you're trying to run by the seat of your pants. The big thing is not to get emotional, not to get frustrated. There's still a solution. There's a problem. You got to find the solutions. So you always have to be looking for the solutions of things. And that's where we work really well with trying to find, talking to the technicians, finding what we can do, utilizing their knowledge base to move the position, moving what our day is forward. And so there's a lot of just breaking things down, simplifying the process. As we do that, it's slowly but surely, it catches itself up and it comes around 1 or 2 o'clock and you're like, I don't feel as bad as I did at 10 a.m. Still not great, but it's going to get the job done.
I think the remaining calm part is such a big part of that and being even keeled because like Steve said, you run into those every day and sometimes multiple times a day and it's okay. We're just going to shift things around a little bit. No big deal.
Yeah, you got to be a duck. You got to be a duck. You know, you got to be calm above the water and below the water, you're just paddling and like crazy down there. You've got to look at it and have multiple plans because some things aren't going to happen and which cars may have an issue with. So you start thinking about, okay, if this goes wrong on this car, what are we going to do? And that way, when it does go wrong, you already have that plan there and be able to switch pretty quickly instead of just being frozen in time.
Hey, stop guessing and get working on the next car or the opportunity to buy a second shop. Now, once you can see through the fog of numbers coming at you all day, you use less brain power to make better decisions. Start with reading the gauges on every bay and every tech with Shopware's capacity dashboard. Now, it makes it easy to see where you can squeeze in one more repair. Then get an overview of every business metric in your shop. Build your reports your way so the numbers that drive you jump out at you whenever you need them. Even if you add more shops to your operation, all the numbers end up consolidated by location or any way you want to slice and dice them. You're in control every step of the way, customizing as you go. Get a clear view. Get more profits. Get Shopware.com. As the trusted aftermarket brand for over 100 years, Delphi Technologies is by your side for every step of the repair process. The Delphi journey doesn't stop once the parts are ordered. Wherever your journey takes you, our quality parts gives you ease of mind when getting your customer's vehicle back on the road. Technicians know and trust Delphi as a quality brand. Each product undergoes rigorous testing to not only meet OE standards, but also enhance it in each opportunity. From 700 hours of spray testing on chassis components to fuel pumps tested for reliability up to 150,000 miles. And safety and reliability is paramount to help vehicles drive cleaner, better, and further throughout their lives. Delphi is also committed in developing products and services to prepare technicians for the future. Take advantage of how-to videos on YouTube, technician-led trainings, and our technical support line, and more. Turn to the aftermarket parts supplier with over 100 years of OEM trust and quality. Learn more about Delphi. Visit DelphiAftermarket.com. We're talking to right now our listener, and they're absorbing this, and they're kind of liking where this is going, but I'm not even sure we could afford a dispatcher. I don't know if we have one. Wouldn't it be a cool idea? In the next, if you will, tabletop meeting, the next scrum that you have one morning, next Monday, next Tuesday morning, and say, I want to write a job description and a policy outline for a dispatcher. Well, boss, we don't have a dispatcher. I know. What if? Wouldn't that be so interesting to get the feedback from your people without giving them a lot of information? Just let it come back to you. Let them be possibility thinkers. You may not be the size of a company that can afford one yet, but isn't this visioning?
I like your idea, but in a small shop, in some ways, isn't everybody responsible for dispatch? You know, one of our core values is to be hungry. That's something we hire on. We want somebody that wants to drive and we set and outline clear goals. So if we have clear goals and everybody wants to work together to get them, can't we work as a team to dispatch if we don't have one person in charge? At least we can work together to some extent. Ideally, you need one person to be the quarterback, but everybody's got to be able to be open for the pass too.
I'll say, I think a shop with good culture, and we've had situations where technicians have redispatch work themselves. You know, they, even before we can get on top of it up front, they understand where they are on a car and how many hours they have into it. And they may say, hey, I have this other car. Let's go ahead and switch that over to somebody else. They're ahead on their job. So exactly what Reggie says, the whole team can be part of dispatching.
Yeah, I would agree. Even in our situation where we have a dispatcher, you know, there's constant communication between everybody and all the techs and the shop foreman and the advisors. And everybody plays a role and makes suggestions at times on who can do what and when and how it gets done.
I agree with all of that you guys are saying. I always look at it from a standpoint of teams, like a football team or any other team, or for us, we have a really good soccer team here. Like when you look at these teams together and how they react, you're only as good as the people around you. And you're only as good as their philosophy is on the same philosophy that your philosophy is. And everyone does that based on knowledge and teaching. So you teach them what we're trying to accomplish. You give them the information. You adapt to it. You constantly talk about it day in and day out in the morning huddles, the midday huddles, the Monday morning meetings, all these different things that we're constantly over and over and over stating, saying about efficiency and dispatch. And once people start to buy into it and they're seeing that you are very consistent with it, it all kind of works out together. And so it's just as important to know everything about a technician and their wants and their dislikes and what makes them tick as it is to your advisors, as to the customers. All of that has to kind of roll together. That all rolls together and you spend time individually and then working it all together. Even chaos can be fun.
It was Charlie who sent me this incredibly long email after your episode, Reggie. And he was the one who mentioned the roller coaster tycoon. And it was Tracy and I that discussed it. And I knew it was someone else. But anyway, thank you so much, Charlie. We always get feedback like that from these episodes. I mean, we really stretch the think that's going on out there. And to your point, Steve, about the tech and the dispatch and shop manager, the parts person, the connectivity. I mean, just put your fingers and let them in your lap. Once the culture is exactly where you want it and the behaviors are right and the policy is there and the individual who's the CXO in your business, do you know who the CXO is? It's the customer experience officer. Ah, interesting. You all have a new job title, the CXO.
Nice.
Huh? The customer experience officer. By the way, that's becoming huge in industry today for everyone. So I want you to think about that inside of your own businesses. And you may not be big enough to have a CXO. But it's not bad to introduce the concept and the idea to your team and let them all realize we're not going to hire a CXO, but we're going to give every one of you this subtitle, the Chief Experience Officer.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Ain't that a cool idea? Just recently read that. And again, when I read that stuff and I say, it's got to work for our industry too, because the experience that you're giving is the competitive advantage that we all seek.
That's it.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right. Everybody has to be a part of that. On it, even the, you know, from the front to the back, everybody has to be part of that experience for the customer. No one's immune from it.
It's the, and I'm drawing a blank, but what's the hotel that's so well modeled for their customer service experience? I can't remember if it's Marriott,
Ritz,
yep. Ritz Carlton. Yeah. Every single person plays a role in that. And they all take pride in the experience that they provide with their guests.
I love how dispatch works because maybe it's how I'm wired. And again, I think it goes back to finding the right individual with the long fuse. And be able to, that 30,000 foot view, Nick, to be able to know what all your assets do and being able to, it's noon. In my mind, there's that 3 o'clock day and then there's that 5 o'clock pickup, that whole, those zones, those incoming, the quoting, the starting of the job, those, they're kind of zones inside the day. And to be able to picture them with each individual bay, with each individual tech and each individual customer. What an exciting job.
Yeah, it can grow much larger than that. For us being a European specialty shop, the number of parts coming out of Europe have greatly increased. So when we have to look at the total picture, you know, I'm not necessarily taking into account things that are happening today, but I'm having to take into account when parts are getting from Europe and what work we need to get in before those parts or while we're waiting on parts. So it can turn into much more of a long game as well.
It's funny that you bring that up. We do Europeans and we do other, we do all make smiles, we do Europeans too. And we've run into that. And we've been kind of playing with dispatch, switching it up, not trying to stay status quo, But getting the cars diagnosed, dispatched, the hard ones, the diagnoses, the things that we can do in the morning, get the parts coming, knowing that we can start working on the cars in the afternoon, because there's nothing more than a technician dislikes, as we said before, of getting a work order at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And so we're psychologically, you're trying to take that away from a technician's how they think. And so it's constant about looking at how do we get the information quickly to adapt, to get in front of the customers, to then having the work finished. So before we would just dispatch one and then fix another one, dispatch, fix it, and back. We found that we were getting caught at 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then that car's automatically rolling over to the next day. Well, we don't know the expectation because maybe we don't ask that expectation. So we spend a lot of time now moving those cars into the morning, getting them done, get them diagnosed, get them called, and then setting expectations based on the conversation we have with the customer on how much time do they have? Do they need it back? Can we have it for a day or two? And then it's a lot easier conversation to have at noon or 1 o'clock in the afternoon than to have a conversation at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon after the car has been here the whole entire day.
Yeah, we run very similar to where we're trying to get everything looked at in the morning, have those conversations. And even when the dispatcher, you know, gives that information back to our advisors, we're telling them, okay, you know, based on parts availability, we're going to have this. It's all approved. We can do it today or it's going to be a couple of days out. Now, when the advisor makes that call, they can say, oh, no, the customer really needs this. What can we move around? You know, what can we do to speed this up in the process? I've got this other car, this other customer that he can wait a couple of days. Can we move his back in line a little bit? So it's a constant communication between them all to try and make all the Tetris pieces fall in place.
Can you imagine the phones ringing, the customers are coming in, the service advisors, oh God, I've got to sit down with the boss. He's going to listen to my recordings on Friday. Oh my God, this is going to be terrible. And I'm rushed and I didn't smile when I picked up the phone and Okay, if you think about all of that stuff and you had a dispatcher say, hey, listen, Mrs. Smith's got to come in. What can we do? Boom. You've just delegated or handed off to, if you will, what kind of technical background does this person really have to know and understand how the car works? Do they have to understand people? I mean, are they engineers when it comes to moving chess pieces? Let's talk about the kind of individual that we need besides the disc profile. Does that person have to be a technical person?
We found that for our model, having the technical abilities does help. You know, and it goes back to what Reggie mentioned earlier, going up to that technician and knowing that a job can be done in a certain amount of time.
The foresight, like you've talked about.
So I don't have technical background. I've always been in the automotive industry. I've always been the customer service side of it. But I will tell you, I've been with Almers a little over 8 years now. And to me to learn, I had to go and talk to technicians. So I utilize their information to relate to the customers. But I break it down to simple stuff. Most people are not technical when it comes to automotive. They know the bits and pieces of things, but they don't really want to get into the nitty-gritty. There are some people that are, and I will finally hand them off to another advisor that loves to talk about that stuff. But try to keep it simple, stupid, trying to keep it flowing, knowing at the end of the day that we're here to take care of you and that it's going to be done. It's going to be done right. You have a nice warranty and you got me. And that's what I always sell, is that I sell myself on everything. And over the time, that's how I build my relationships with the customers. So they trust me based on I'm always going to take care of them, even though I'm maybe not technical.
Makes sense.
So
I have a question on where is the line between scheduling and dispatch? Because I feel like for a technician to have a successful day, he's got to have the right jobs lined up and dispatched properly so he can have a productive day. But for a dispatcher to line up the day for the technician, doesn't the schedule have to have the right mix of jobs coming into the shop that day for the dispatcher to be successful?
I would agree, yes. And that's where we struggle, is a lot of times we don't have the right mix of jobs. We'll have too many little pebbles, too many oil services scheduled, and not enough of the medium-sized jobs or even bigger jobs. Or it's right now where we're struggling is this: we've got too many oil services and too many big jobs. We don't have all those, the little stuff in there. So yes, there is a scheduling that does need to, by the advisors, that does play a big role in how you're going to dispatch throughout the whole day.
We pay attention to that really closely. On our scheduling, we have it color-coded through Techmetric. We only limit a certain amount of oil changes, our bumper-to-bumper scheduled services, brake suspension, air conditioning, diagnosis. We have seen a huge uptick in diagnosis just due to people keeping the cars longer. You try to create the mix. We're lucky. We have a very strong customer base, so we can typically do that. But I know we'll get caught on days where we're really heavy on the simple stuff and not on the bigger stuff. But it's a very fine line, and it's a very much thing that is constantly being tweaked. I don't know the perfect answer for it. Just hope that we somehow will find a happy medium between everything.
I think it's brilliant. It's brilliant to say that between a dispatcher job and a service advisor / scheduler, look at the map, look at the colors. It's almost like they're integrated somehow, mind melded together somehow, where the dispatcher could even potentially go to the company and say, we've got to schedule this a little lighter or this a little heavier, because the key to their success that's going on in the bays is how well the service advisor did schedule.
You know, if you could have the guidelines set up essentially as to what your service advisors can work towards on scheduling. You know, for us, we know that the goal is 11 cars a day based on the average hours per RO that we do. We have 11 cars per day. That doesn't include basic maintenance plus 6 to 8 hours of basic maintenance. If we have that, that'll put us in the goal we need to be, and we'll have all the pieces in place. So that's our goal we move to every day and we schedule to.
So that's the scheduling goal. The dispatcher's goal is almost similar, but almost only 20% the same in getting that to work, but actually to get it to happen. Because the bus, because the parts, because of calling in six, because of the customer saying, oh, something just happened, can you? And now you're being the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey juggler.
Well, it's just like you guys talked about in the podcast. You have to overschedule to compensate, because always going to have at least one client a day who has something come up and has to reschedule, or is a no-show, or change what they want to get done when they walk in the door. So you have to overschedule to complicate or to compensate for that. And if everybody shows up, that's a good problem to have. And you figure it out with the technicians and you work your way through it.
Yeah. Well, we say in our organization is, you know, for the advisors, is their job is to overwhelm the back shop.
Yes,
and by that,
absolutely.
Overscheduling. And, you know, like I said, if everybody shows up, then that's a great problem to have. Yeah. But, you know, as the airline, the hotels, everybody always overschedules because they know people aren't going to show up for whatever reason. Things happen.
The common theme here is we're all working towards a goal. Whatever that goal is, whether it's production, whether it's customers' promise times, for a dispatcher to even dispatch and be measurably successful, there's got to be a goal to work towards, which is obviously back to 101 level stuff, but I think it shouldn't be dismissed.
You know, one of the things that I'm thinking about here in a job called dispatch, the word's career pathing. And so think about, doesn't matter, I don't care how small or how big the company is, people want to know how they fit, where am I going? If you have the resources, the wherewithal, the capabilities to add a dispatch, wow, you could take a critically important person who maybe is at the end of their frustration level of being whatever they are. If they have that fortitude to be a dispatcher, it's a career path opportunity.
It is. Absolutely.
I mean, how often do you get to sit in a position where you get to oversee the whole business, the whole office, everything that's working, all movable parts run through that screen? And it is can be daunting at first, but if you keep doing at it and keep going at it, and you're going to make mistakes and you change and you fix those mistakes, it is a pretty cool thing to see and to look back and go, I mean, selfishly, I guess, but I'm responsible for overseeing it. And then my opportunities now is to teach somebody to do the same thing. And it's a really cool experience. I mean, to dispatch, I think, is more fun to do than anything else. So it's like Tetris. It's just a fun game. It's just work.
Yeah, as the dishwasher topic kept coming up, the Tetris was the same game I went to as well.
And it, you know, like Steve says, it's fun. You know, I enjoy it just because it's fun. It's not work. It's fun.
Constant problem solving.
Yeah.
Yep.
I believe I'm going to have to do more of this. We're literally, maybe the next one is going to have to be, let's find some people whose actual title is dispatch. And let's bring them in and let's talk about the interaction between the customer, the counter, and the technicians, and the immense responsibility and how they deal with it, how long or short their fuse is, all those real world things. And I think if we can make that kind of next episode happen, we can teach to the industry, I need to find an individual like that. And these are the challenges that we're going to have. So I think these last episodes, discussion episode 849, Reggie and Dan were part of, and now this one, this panel discussion, is going to take this great, too bad we can't find the roller coaster tycoon for dispatching, And maybe that is, who knows, maybe someone knows someone who is an app person. Bill Connor, service coordinator, is a win in many shops. Yeah, it's probably the same. I would say that the job descriptions would be pretty damn close, Bill. So thank you for that. Guys, appreciate it. Let's go. We're going to go around the room. We'll start with Reggie. We'll end up with Steve. Reggie, any final words you wanted to cover?
I'm going to be a little repetitive from the last episode just because I feel very passionate about this subject, is that this is the key to the shop owners out there that are not, they have great techs on staff, but they just can't get to 100% productivity. I would take a hard look at this because for me and for Nick and I and us, as we've grown from a shop that was 70% productive to 120% productive, unknowingly, this has been what has changed that. It's not been necessarily changing the technicians. It's been making sure the technicians have what they need to be successful on a daily basis. So I think if any of your listeners can take that nugget and do something with it, that would be a win for us being involved in the podcast.
An extremely powerful close. Really profound. Thank you so much, John.
I'm going to beat the drum on communication still. You know, once you have this dispatcher in place, or even if you don't have a dispatcher, you know, just the communication aspect across the shop is what really makes or breaks the shop. Most of the times you have issues, it's because of a lack of communication problem amongst the shop. So, I mean, I'm going to beat the drum, communication between everybody. You're not going to get anywhere without it.
Great point. Think about the guys that have been on my show talking about apps that they use to communicate with. And so much of the software that we're using today is dinging and talking and the interaction between all of that. If we're not near our phone or near our tablet, we may miss something, which, and sometimes guys say, listen, I got to walk 50 feet to talk to, you know, the particular tech in. So yeah, you're right. Figure it out is the answer, right? Make it work. All right, Nick.
I'll follow up on the communication part. And I agree. I think that the entire team's communication abilities can affect it. Between the dispatcher and the service advisor and the technicians and the parts person, all have to be able to openly communicate and talk to each other and have that affect the overall view of things. And then I would also just say the flexibility. I know being able to pivot quickly with what changes, that's one of the biggest things that will affect the productivity.
Boy, I tell you, he's so right about the pivot. You have to have the ability and the skill to do that and not lose your way, right? Steve.
So I'd have to say that the foresight of what we've seen there, how the dispatching works, what information I'd give to people that are starting to do this or trying to do this is just do it. There's going to be mistakes that are going to get made. Ask for feedback from the technicians, feedback from the advisors. Kind of control what you can control and keep, as I said, communication. It's all about communication. If everyone has it and you're on the team and every single person is on the same page, then they're always willing to help you and they're always going to help you learn to dispatch together. You're never on an island. And if mistakes are made, someone's there to help you and move forward with it. So I would challenge people to start doing it. And it just comes with time, but it will work. It will work very, very well. And it will probably put a lot less stress on you guys.
So let me tell you what my big takeaway is here, guys. The C word, communicate.
Communication.
You need to sit down with your team, probably not even talk about dispatch, and say, let's evaluate our ability to communicate. Because if it's not good, work on that. Get that better. And now talk about dispatch, because you can't have dispatch without good communication. So maybe that's the milk to the cereal, or the cereal to the milk or something, right?
Yeah, you can't have one without the other.
Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely. Wow. This Reggie, I think this came off pretty good, huh? From what we talked about last time.
I think it turned out awesome. And I love what Steve said that right there at the end is try it and you're going to screw some stuff up. And that's how you learn. You have to make those mistakes to learn what works.
We're in the middle of training a new person right now in dispatch. And I told him this morning, because we were struggling a little bit, I said, you know what happens when you struggle? And he just looks at me and he goes, no. And I said, you learn.
Thank you all so much, Nick Howard, GM at Reggie's, and Reggie Stewart, owner of Reggie's and Noble Auto Service, John Long, co-owner Total True Automotive down in Schertz, Texas, and Steve Braun, Ulmer's Auto Care General Manager out in Cincinnati. Honored to have you on the show.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Carl. Great to see you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.